Welcome to a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The story is told of a preacher who was challenged to spend the night in what is called a haunted house. But he accepted the challenge. He didn't believe in ghosts. But to his surprise, about midnight, spooks came all around him. Well, he was frightened, and he began to pray. But the spooks did not leave. He read the scriptures, but they did not leave. Then he prepared to pass the collection plate, and immediately they all scattered. Well, this seems to be the attitude of many people on hearing lessons regarding giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul wrote, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, as unto us by the will of the God, insomuch that we desired Titus, as he had begun, that he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." Now the Apostle Paul, as he traveled about, he raised funds among the Gentile churches for Jewish brethren in Judea who were in need because there was a famine there. And he had given instructions to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Well, contributions were received from Galatia, in Asia, in Macedonia. And Paul said the churches in Macedonia were upheld to the Corinthians as examples in giving. They had responded over and beyond expectations. They counted a privilege to give. The Bible says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And that's a quotation from the words of Christ. They had learned well that teaching of Christ that's recorded there in Acts the 10th chapter and the 35th verse. And although they were afflicted and they were in deep poverty, these Macedonians gave of their own accord. They gained to the fullest extent, even beyond their power, and in doing so they became rich in the Lord by their liberality. As marvelous as was their deed, friend, their attitude of heart that motivated that deed is also remarkable, and we want to think about that in our lesson today. What was the reason they gave the way they did? If ever there was a so-called key to successful giving, we have it in this account. Did you ever wonder why some congregations are able to do many more things than, well, things that others don't even attempt? In such areas as mission work, expanding their local congregation, doing benevolent work, various good things authorized of God. Now, why do they do this? It's not always because they're richer in material things than others. It's because they give better than others. And while we're concerned about how much we give, we need to be first concerned about how to give. These Macedonian brethren first gave of themselves. There's the key to successful giving. They were committed to the cause of Christ. In the book of Revelation, we read of the church there in Laodicea, and those people thought themselves in need of nothing. But in the sight of God, they were poor, they were wretched, they were blind. Now the church in Macedonia, materially, they were poor, even in poverty, but they were rich in the sight of God because of their liberality and because their attitude of heart that motivated their liberality. And now the reason that some give liberally is because they know what's in their power doesn't really belong to them. It's not their own property. They are but stewards of that which has been granted temporarily to them by the Lord. They realize that it all belongs to God. People talk about sometimes my money and God's money. Friend, it's all God's money. Part of it is loaned to us for a while, and we're to be caretakers of it. These Macedonian brethren, they realize that they are going to give an account of how they use what God allows them to control. And we need to understand that also. They knew that what they had was not their own. In fact, they knew that even they were not their own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul had more to say on this subject of giving. But this I say, that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Shall we not reap what we sow? And friends, shall we not reap even more than we sow? Once a rich man, who wished to do something helpful for a carpenter who was in need, hired the carpenter to build a house. The rich man left town for a while, leaving everything into the hands and to the care of the carpenter. Well, the carpenter went about his work, but he did a shoddy job. He cut corners. He's using inferior materials. But when the rich man returned, he gave the keys of the house to the carpenter to be his own house. How then the carpenter had wished he had been more attentive to doing his job properly. Well, friend, in similar fashion, God has entrusted us with certain duties, certain opportunities and responsibilities, and the house we build will be our own. Did you ever stop to think, how are we building? Now, when we give as we ought, we're actually laying up treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The tale is told about one who went to heaven. Now, this is a fictitious story, but it illustrates something that we want to get across to us today. This man went to heaven, and he was being escorted to his eternal home. And he was led by many glorious mansions, and he inquired if one of them belonged to him. But he was told no. He would be taken to a lesser mansion, he thought, and he assumed the lesser mansion would surely be his. But again, when he got there, he was told, "No, not yet. We haven't come to what you have received yet." And on he was led to finally the lowliest and the humblest of dwellings. Well, disappointed, he asked why this was all that he got. And the reply was given, "We did the best we could with what you sent us." Friend, you can tell where a person's heart is if you discover where his treasure is. And the same thing is true of the other fella. It is true also of you. Now I want us to notice from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where we're instructed to purpose in our giving. This means we are to plan. We have certain intentions. We make commitments. And we need to plan and to think about what we're going to give. We don't want to give God in a haphazard way. We don't want to give God just the leftovers after we have done everything else that we want to do with what we have. When one calls it planning or purposing or whatever he wants to call it, our giving is to be after proper consideration. As we have prospered, intentionally, of a free will, dictated by how much we love God. What one gives is between one person and God, but we must make sure our attitude is right and our actions then are going to be acceptable. Notice the proper attitude. We're not to give grudgingly. We're not to give because we just have to give of necessity. We're told to give cheerfully, willingly, because we get to give, not because we have to. We give as God has prospered us. Now, the New Testament sets no specific percentage to give like it did under the law of Moses for the Jews, and some may hide behind the absence of a given percentage in order to give less than 10% that the Jews gave. Actually, calculations indicate that the Jews gave as much as one-third of their income. But do your own figuring. There is a spiritual beauty, friend, in giving, because it's godlike, it's Christlike. One complained upon hearing a sermon on giving. He said, "All I hear is give, give, give." Well, friend, may I suggest to you, and you think about it, you'll see this is a pretty fair one-word commentary on the nature of Christianity. Look what God has given. Look what Christ has given. Indeed, look what the Holy Spirit has given. Look what heaven offers, and this gift of forgiveness and fellowship with deity, a hope, a purpose in life, God's providence and protection. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Friend, our giving is not a repayment to God. We can never repay God for all that he's done for us. But our giving is an expression of our love for God. By giving, we prove our sincerity of our love, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. It just means, how much do you love God? Your giving is a pretty good indicator. Yes, Christians have many duties. They have many privileges. They have many responsibilities. But giving is one of them, and we dare not neglect it. And by giving, we worship God, because Solomon said, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of thine increase." Yes, we need to abound in this grace also. As God has given unto us, we must give unto God. We dare not use what he has bestowed into our care in a wantonly sort of fashion and to wasteful use of it. But to not simply use it for our own needs and our own goods, but to think about the cause of Jesus Christ. The next time you have an opportunity to give to the cause of Christ, won't you think about what the Bible teaches about this grace also? This is a burning fire. Until next time.